Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. Welcome, everyone. I'm Maria Finch. I'm an intuitive strategy guide, and I am thrilled to have Dr. Forsina with me here today. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, so to start out with, tell us a bit about you.
Well, I was born during World War II in Italy, in between Rome and Naples. Scauri is a small area. And that area suffered a lot of bombardment and destruction. Monte Cassino is close by, where the German concentration was, that hold the advance of the Allies troop for more than 6 months. There were thousands and thousands casualty in both sides and injury. It was really a terrible thing. So in desperation, my father was in the military at that time, and a member of his family died, his brother died, his brother-in-law died. His father disappeared for many months, and nobody knew what happened, because the Germans, they were arresting the male people to be taken to Germany to work, labor force, because they need the laborers. And so there was a lot of misery. People were poor. They don't have the facilities. They don't have food. They were infestation of lice in the top of the mountain. Top of the mountain. There was just terrible misery. So what happened was that when my father, he worked in the factory, ceramic in Scauri, had the opportunity to migrate to Argentina at the time, because the factory was going to relocate it in South America in 1947. So with another 50 people, workers also, they went to Argentina. And of course, for him, Argentina was at the end of the world. It was very remote to have a war with the mentality of that time. And there was plenty of food. So in 1949, he called my mother and me, I was 8 years old, and my brother around less than 2 years old, to Argentina to start a new life. And of course, that was, we were an immigrant in Argentina, very poor immigrant. There were no facility for us. We didn't speak, the custom were different. The language was different. Right. My mother was young. Another calvary, really, another suffering. And then, so that's the way everything started.
Wow, that is quite a beginning. And so I know from that beginning, you then developed yourself tremendously leading up to becoming the head surgeon in two different hospitals, right?
Yes, correct, yes.
So I think for our audience, tell us about, you know, what are some of the key things that you learned in that process of going from such a humble beginning to getting yourself to where the life you really wanted?
Well, you see what happened. I remember the example of my parents.
Okay.
They were called their life. They sacrificed everything. And for them, life was very, very tough. And my father used to talk to me. You see what happened? They have only second, third grade school. Because the people had to, they were big families. Mm-hmm. They had to support the family with the grazing the animal to the mountains.
Sure.
And life was sort of very harsh. It was very hard. My father wanted to study, but he didn't have the possibility.
Wow.
But he read all his life. And so in his simple way, he used to talk to me. I used to explain in the simple way, whatever little thing he knew, he was talk to me. For instance, they say that they when he was young, the main event at that time, you know, in the 20s, whatever, 1920, whatever, 22, 23, whatever. So what happened was that the church once a year in the small square used to have some musician there. And the musician at that time was to play a segment, the opera, or sing an aria, whatever. And for them, that was a major occasion. And he used to talk to me. I was 8 years old. He used to talk to me about the violin, the instrument, the different sound, whatever. And to me, this created a fantasy, a new world that they, in the beginning, I didn't understand. But as I grew up, I start to, because I admire my father. And so whatever he told me, it cannot be wrong. So that's why, and so my father, I didn't want to study. I didn't want to study, 8 years old. Who want to study 8 years old?
Yeah.
At that time?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I want to play in the street with the other kids, kicking the ball in the street. And so what happened was that my father used to tell me, son, you want to improve your life. Don't waste it. Don't do this. Don't do that. And so, and in the beginning, I didn't understand until I was happened that, you know, we were kids playing in the street, kicking a ball. The ball that we have, we made with the socks, full with clothes over there, and we kicked that ball. They were on paved street. There was dust all over. Okay. And that was our simple entertainment. We don't have any choices. And so anyhow, so eventually, one time, not too far away from my parents' house, there was a church. And to this church, some people, a priest came to preach. And the main reason to preach and also to get the student to go to the convent so that eventually maybe they can become a priest or whatever. So they... You know, I was a little wild, maybe was around 10 years old. And so what happened, that they showed me picture of the kids playing soccer. They have a small pony. They were swimming in the river. And to me, all this was my poor mind. This was, heaven. So, and they asked me if I want to go there. And I asked my father, Dad, I want to go there too. He said, so my father, of course, was delighted for me to go there because that's what he wanted for me to study, to learn something.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. And because he didn't have the opportunity. So what happened? I went to this place, but this place, there was a lot of discipline. They showed me all the entertainment, but they didn't show me that you had to study very hard and you had to pray. You had to pray. And so anyhow, my first year was very, very harsh, very, very difficult. But little by little, I started to see the sample of the other kids study, whatever. Okay? And for curiosity, I started to read. And little by little, this in my life had been like, you know, when you have a drop of water, steady drop of water on a rock, the stalactite, okay? And so what happened with the long time through the years, it's going to make a hole. Doesn't happen overnight. It's going to make a hole in the rock. And that's what happened. My life had been the steady small thing up and down, falling down and getting that caused me to eventually to open my eyes and being able to get, I was in a hole. In a dark hole, just looking up for the light. But I couldn't see the sun. So I want to get my life, I want to work very hard to get out of that hole because I want to be, to see the horizon. I want to see the sun. And that has been my life.
So for someone who's listening, who is in a dark time in their life right now, what would you suggest to them? Like what is a step that they can take to start to climb out of that hole towards the light?
All right. First of all, I'm not an expert in this, but in
having done it yourself, it's like, what is your experience? What does your experience suggest?
I wish for that particular person, the first requirement for him to be lucky enough to have a mother and a father that love that person, and they can hug this person, and a moment of depression that we all go through, they can cry together and they can give support. And because we need the support, because you need a word that somebody trusts you and somebody can tell you, yes, son, you can do it. You can do it. Yeah. It's not going to be tomorrow. It's going to be, but if you work hard, you can do it. First of all, okay, I was lucky to have that.
Well, and I think an important thing for our audience is this doesn't have to be a parent. You can get this kind of support from all kinds of people, from a teacher, from a therapist, from a coach, from dear friends. Yeah.
I was coming to that. You see what happened with me? I never have a guide. Mm-hmm. I had to do everything myself. Mm-hmm. My life, like, it was walking through a tunnel, just guiding by the small dim light at the end. Mm-hmm. But when I reached, after a long walk, reached that end, there was a light there, but there was a sign that said dead end. Mm-hmm. And so what I had to do, I had to come back and start all over again. You see, I was not lucky enough. You see, here in this country, in the United States, or where I'm in the United States right now. So what happened is that when you go to college, you have the guidance, you have preparing yourself to, you have a destination, you have a place where you want to accomplish, and you have everything required for you to reach that thing. Uh-huh. Meantime, I was climbing the Himalaya, I was climbing this mountain, but I didn't have the right equipment. I didn't have shoes, I didn't have clothes. I didn't have gloves. I was, just an adventure.
Right. Well, and I think that happens to many people. I think many people find themselves in very difficult situations and they don't have the guides. They don't have people that they can turn to, or maybe they don't realize that they have people that they can turn
to. Because, like you say, you can have a teacher, you can have a good friend, you can have a good neighbor, you can have a priest, a pastor, Rabbi, whoever have a soul, they want to give you something, that soul to you to say you can be a better person and you can improve your life. It's a natural common life.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that I've really learned in my own life is the importance of having the courage to ask for help when you need it. And so sometimes it can be as simple, you can start very small. So for example, I am very short in stature. And one of the things that I find myself doing all the time is asking for people to help me reach things in the grocery store. And the more I've done it, the more comfortable I am doing it. Yes. And the more I just make it fun. Yeah. And it just is fun. And one of the most important things for people to realize about asking for help is that when you ask someone for help, if you're asking the right kind of person, you're actually giving them a gift. Because you're giving them the opportunity to offer something to you, which will make them feel good. Mm-hmm. And so I just always encourage everyone, if you're in one of those dark times in life, reach out. You know, so if you don't have anyone in your immediate circle that you feel comfortable reaching out, then find a coach, find a therapist, find a doctor, you know, talk to somebody and don't stay where you are.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
It can be very important.
And so I know that for you, having gone from such humble beginnings to being a, you know, super high level surgeon, you were obviously very good at setting goals and meeting them. What advice do you have for people about how to keep working towards a goal, especially when life is hard?
Well, first of all, I think we all have inside ourselves the little bit, the stubbornness. It's like a child that want to grab a candy that cannot reach, and he keep jumping. The stubbornness is inside us.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the stubbornness, plus a good motivation, a good mm-hmm. incentive.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, although you have the limitation, if, like you say, if that motivation can be enhanced by somebody that trusts you, somebody that have faith mm-hmm. on you, mm-hmm. they give you, they recharge the battery, the inside mm-hmm. battery that we have, and they give you the life is hard. The child,
yeah.
a child doesn't know how to walk. The first steps are going to be very hard. They fall down and cry, but mm-hmm. they had to get up in order to keep going because they never learned how to walk. And that's what life is about. So we all have the up and down in life. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, the motivation was first for, in some way, the example that my parents set for me mm-hmm. in a simple way, I cannot be against what my parents have done for me. Mm-hmm. I cannot deceive mm-hmm. them. Okay, that was the first motivation, and second, because I want to improve my life. I want to be somebody. My father kept telling me, he was showing me the hand. He was a worker. And he said, look at you. Look at my callus here in my hand. That's what you want to be. So when you grow up, don't blame me that I didn't try. And they see, it's those things, little by little, sooner or later, they're going to open your eyes.
So you're saying that if you have a goal that you want to reach, you've got to just keep pushing towards it and taking as many steps as you can and try not to let yourself get discouraged.
Because you're going to have bad moments. We all have bad moments.
Yeah.
Listen, honestly, many occasions I was ready to quit.
Uh-huh.
I was ready to quit. But eventually, I said, if I quit, what I'm going to do? What I'm going to do in my life? I don't want to be an average. I want to be a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I knew that I had the potential because I had the determination. I used to study for hours and hours. And sometimes, you know what? That was no good because, you know, I felt the responsibility, because I worked I didn't tell you that I was with a priest for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that school was very harsh for me. And mm-hmm. the discipline was extreme. And mm-hmm. so I became introverted. I became shy. Mm-hmm. So that changed my life too. Mm-hmm. Because I was wild. I went there when I was in a wild. And eventually end up, yes, because of the discipline, psychological discipline, and body discipline, physical discipline.
Hmm.
Yeah, they were different times. It was very hard. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's but I accomplished something. That's the important thing. With all the uncertainty and the environment, that was different or whatever. Everything was against me, but still I was able to accomplish something. When I was with the priest there, you see what happened? Everything's so controlled that uh-huh. we don't have any idea. I was almost 19 years old when I one day the friends were talking, no, in the school, in the public school, they were talking about in the square over there about the women, there were some girls there and the menstruation or whatever. I didn't know what it was though. I was 19 years old because we were not allowed to even to mention something like that. The how the culture was, the books they were the pages, they controlled what we read. The page was torn. another was marked with ink, because they thought what they, you know, you have to follow what they tell you. No, so I got in trouble because I start to ask questions, mm-hmm. and eventually I was maybe teenager, I don't remember, 15, 16, whatever. I was a report to the superior, and the superior, I remember he told me, he really talked very harsh to me, and he said, next time that you do something like that, we're going to expel you. Mm-hmm. And what are you going to do? Because you are not intelligent. And at that time, to me, the fact that you're not intelligent or whatever didn't mean anything. But eventually, sooner or later, when I start to understand life, that hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
That hurt me because I needed somebody to have encouraged me. They have been told, well, you know, explain to me if what I was doing wrong. Just put a wall in front of me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's so true. That's true. So it's so.
That's why in this book there is so many the light stuff, heavy stuff, and many psychological things to analyze there.
And
that's
so
what I want to.
Yeah. So tell us a bit about your book. I know that part of being on podcasts is to be sharing the message of your book. So tell us a bit about your book.
Well, this book came about because when I started to practice medicine, I was young with my wife. We had different friends, and we had some lawyer, simple people, politician, whatever. And everybody was curious about, they knew maybe something a little bit about me, our background, and I like to very much to talk history or classic, mm-hmm. whatever, okay? Mm-hmm. And so, and what I'm saying, the same way I'm talking to you, explaining, they say, "Wow, how do you manage to do this?" They were surprised, you know? And more than one say, "Son, you have to write down this." And at that time, you know, I have anything in my mind. I'm worried with my practice, running night and day as a surgeon, you know, busy. Yeah. And so what happened was that I never pay attention. However, when my granddaughter, Lennon, now she's going to be 8 years old, mm-hmm. was born, I start to think about, and I retire.
Mm-hmm.
I retire. And so what happened, I start to think about, you know, the same way that my father used to talk to me, I want in some way to talk to my granddaughter.
Oh, that's
because,
nice. Yeah.
Because she lives in a beautiful country. She has everything. However, when she's going to be a teenager and the company and the environment, and she had to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps, because I'm not going to be here, perhaps she can one night get this book, open up some pages, and read something about. I said, "Wow, that was my grandpa that came to this country. I didn't speak English. My MD was not recognized. I had to start all over again."
Yeah,
you know. And so, and maybe I can be something good for her. Maybe I can prevent some bad decision. And that's not for my daughter, but if I can help one person.
Yeah, well, that's a good
look
way.
Look at this. What one person, Einstein or Mozart or whatever. Look at what they have accomplished, one person in their life. If I can help one person to make a right decision, I would be the lucky guy in this earth, because I was lucky somebody, whatever, nature helped me or whatever. I want to return that.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, so we've gotten to the end of our time. Is there any last thing you'd like to tell? Yeah, it went very fast. Is there anything last thing you'd like to tell our audience about resilience or keeping a quiet mind or moving on?
Well, you know, we have life is difficult. Mm-hmm. But you have to believe in yourself. You have to look all the up. Don't look down. Look up all the time. The sky, the stars, the beautiful thing there. And eventually, sooner or later, don't look for compensation right away. It doesn't come right away. Mm-hmm. See, now in our system, we harvest today and we want to go. No, we plant today, seed today, and we harvest yesterday.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Well, that's our nature here. We are in a rush all the time. So
yeah.
You have to give it time. Don't despair. Don't despair. Uh-huh. We are going to have a good moment and a bad moment.
Uh-huh.
And when you are in the down, look for somebody who is like a person that is drowning, is grab any rock or any branch or anything to survive. That's the moment. You don't stay by yourself. Give yourself a chance. Look, talk to somebody. Go to whatever.
Yeah.
Look, don't be alone. Don't be alone, because the darkness is going to get deeper.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And for anyone listening who feels like they're in a dark time, even though it might feel so difficult to reach out, if you do, it can really make a difference.
Yes. Yeah. There is a hope. There is a hope for everything. And maybe when that person get out of that shell or whatever, or that can be a help to somebody else, because the experience that person can give. And that's what nature is about. That's what, life is so friable. There is so much to learn about life.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And it's so true that when you've been through a dark time, then you can help others who go through something similar. It's
because
really
you
a valuable
had experience.
Thing. Yeah.
Because you say, you know what? Nobody told me not to, you're a small child. Nobody told me to not to put my finger in the outlet because I'm going to burn.
Right.
But unfortunately, we all go there and put the finger there and eventually you learn your lesson.
That's true. That's true.
Well, that's nature. That's nature. Yeah. Doesn't mean we are bad. That's why some people have to make experience.
Yeah.
But I can guarantee you, after you make that type of experience, you're not going to go back again.
Yeah. That is very true. That's very true. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. Yeah.
I enjoy changing this conversation, because to me, it's so natural. It's something, so like I said, you know, I had the fortune to succeed in life.
Yes.
I had done thousands of surgery. I had to deal with thousands of people. Uh-huh. And now I just turned 82.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. I just turned 82. And I think everything is so fragile and friable in life, that if we can help each other and make this a better world, it will be better for humanity, better for everybody.
Yes, I agree.
The fighting and animosity and jealousy and this and that. You know what? I was in Argentina. Like I told you, I was the son of the immigrant. The immigrant at the bottom of the line. You know what? I never, all my friends, they were well off. All my friends were well off, okay? I didn't have one thing of what they have. But I never felt jealousy about them. I never felt jealousy about them. Because I knew inside myself that if I had worked very hard, maybe I'll never reach that level, but I'm going to be able to improve myself. And that's a plus.
Yeah, well, and I think it's so important that everyone define wealth in the way that they want to define it. So, you know, wealth doesn't just have to be money. It can be your relationships. It can be the time you have. There's so many wonderful ways
but
to
unfortunately, our society, you know, the fact the parents had to work very hard to somebody that can afford to pay a pair of sneakers to spend $200, and the poor mother is working very hard for that. That's the irony, just to please the son. I hope that son can understand that you know, those $200 sneakers, the parents, the mother had to work so hard. Mm-hmm. To appreciate more. That's the way I see life.
Yeah.
That's the way I went my relationship with my parents. And, you know, I when I was in La Plata in Argentina in medical school, my parents gave me I have hardly any money to survive. My mm-hmm. parents couldn't afford for me to buy books. I uh-huh. had to borrow books for my friends. Uh-huh. When they were on weekend, they went to Buenos Aires to have a good time. That was the time when I got their books. I used their books.
Yeah.
So you see, this is what I'm saying. The motivation, the desire. It's not good. It had to be inside. You had to have a little bit of flame inside yourself. And once in a while, you know, like you had the fireplace with ashes. Mm-hmm. And then the ashes, there is a little bit that's still active. Like we had to blow a little bit of oxygen there and to activate the flame.
That's a really, yeah, I think that is a perfect place for us to wrap up, is that everybody has that internal flame. And so no matter how bad your day happens to be, remember that flame is still in there. And
yes.
You can give it a little oxygen and get yourself started again.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me.
Lisa, it was a pleasure to chat with you.
All right. And to our audience, thank you for listening. Everyone, have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of Mind Clock clocking up your days? Book a free initial consult with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.